Blog Talk Radio.
Now, have you ever considered being a squirrel?
It's bizarre.
Hello and welcome to Bizarro UK. This is episode 6. I'm Adam Millard, or as most people call me, Millard. And I'll be with you for the next hour. I'll be with you for the next hour with the hugely talented author of Cannibal Fat Camp, Slipway Grey, Die You Zombie Crackers. It's Mr. Mark Sayano. Are you there, Mark?
Yes, I'm here, Adam.
How are you, sir?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me on. It is a big honor to speak to the UK about my so-called talents.
That's so cool. Come on. So... We're going to jump straight in with so-called talents. Do you want to give a little introduction to yourself anyway, and we'll kick off with that?
Yeah, sure. I'm an award-nominated editor. I got that award nomination for Horror for Good, a charitable anthology that I co-edited with Robert Shane Wilson and R.J. Cavender. It was a collection of short stories for charity that we did a few years ago. Other than that, I've written quite a few short stories. They appear in numerous anthologies. And I do the Splattire series with David Hayes, and we have Cannibal Fat Camp. We have Die, You Zombie Crackers, which is the second book, and I'm currently wrapping up the third book, which is America's Next Dead Model. And I also do quite a bit of writing with my friend, Dane Hatchell. And we have done Slipway Grey, which is a real wicked paranormal shark serial killer mashup. And Insurgency, which is our new zombie novel that just came out a few weeks ago with Severed Press. And I also have done another book. It's called Family Dinner. It's more of a straight edge zombie novel, Romero style, real classic, but a real fun read. So yeah, I guess I've kept I got a few things to my name.
There's quite a sort of genre span there, from satire and to the more serious stuff, and then like you say, you were editing. How tough was it to compile and edit Horror for Good? I mean, the authors on that table of contents. I have a copy on my shelf. I think I got rejected for that one. I think you rejected
me. this is where the phone rejected. Call goes. Now I know why I'm on.
Yeah. No, but I'm glad I got rejected, because it made a place for somebody else who was more deserving. And Jack Ketchum, Ramsey Campbell, Joe Lansdale, Ray Garton. I mean, that must have been a tough anthology to put together.
It really, really was. And the story behind it is quite unusual, because it was just something that, you know, Robert Wilson and I, we met through Facebook on one of the horror groups on Facebook. And we became friends. We decided we wanted to do this anthology together. And the way it started out, it was so small, and it was just going to be really anybody in the group who wanted to contribute a story. And then we teamed up with R.J. Cavender. I had spoke to him about it. He was real interested, and he had a lot of pull and a lot of contacts in the horror world. And this was something I was extremely new to at the beginning. I didn't have any kind of pull or any of these people's numbers or contact information. And he started putting out some feelers. And that's when we really got a great response from some of these real heavyweights like Jack Ketchum and Ramsey Campbell. Ramsey Campbell, he's somebody who's a renowned writer, and he is the nicest guy. He would reply to every email I wrote. I got to meet him at the horror convention in New Orleans last year, and he was the nicest guy. And
yeah.
For some of these big dogs like Jack Ketchum, he had pulled me aside at a convention and said it was an honor for him to be in that book. And when you get praise from people like that, you realize you put together a really good product. And
yeah.
we received hundreds of submissions. Once we opened it to the public, once we started announcing who was going to be in it, we just received hundreds of submissions. And it was tough. Oh, man, it was tough. I mean, we would read 10, 15 stories a day, and we had numerous slush readers. We had to put them in. We were creating folders for stories like yes, no, and maybe. It was insane.
Yeah.
We'd have to have votes on stories, but in the end, we put together a really great book. And just to plug it real quick, Robert Wilson went and did another book called Fantasy for Good, kind of continuing that For Good line. And I believe the benefits for that book go to colon cancer. But he was able to get authors like Neil Gaiman and George R.R. Martin and Michael Moorcock and all kinds of really famous fantasy authors. So I would recommend checking that out as well if you're a fan of the fantasy genre.
And like you say, they were both charity anthologies, so, you know, the only people, it benefited a lot of people, which is always a good thing.
It did. It was a good trade-off. You got a good book, and you did something good in return. And
yeah,
the way we were able to set it up, the charity, the money for the books go directly to the charity. So there is no, it doesn't go to us and then it goes to the charity. It goes straight to them. So like there was no, you know, hands being greedy and taking stuff. It went straight to the charity. So it was a good thing. Something I'm very proud of. And that book kind of, it launched, I guess my name with a lot of people who would never have known my name.
Yeah. Which is, how I first heard of you as well, which I don't mind, you know, being honest, that anthology was how I heard of yourself and Robert Wilson. That was, and also Nightscape Press, which came off the, you know, which you
right.
and Robert used to run Nightscape Press together with.
It was with his wife Jennifer.
With Jennifer, sorry, yes. Obviously, things have changed. You're no longer with Nightscape Press, are you?
I'm not. I stepped away. It's been a while now, if not a year and a half, maybe 2 years at this point. I learned that publishing a book is extremely hard. It is not this, if you want to do it right, it is extremely hard. It is extremely expensive. And
well, like you say, that's when it's done right. It's when it's done right, it's hard.
And we did it, and Nightscape did it right. Nightscape definitely did it right. They're still there, and they reap the benefits of it. I mean, several of their books, 2 years in a row, they won Stoker Awards for best debut novel.
Yeah.
I mean, that is insane.
Yeah, that's just unheard of today, because, I mean, I think the average life expectancy of a startup publisher is probably less than a year. You see them come and go all the time. It's ridiculous. But Nightscape is still sort of going strong, and I believe are opening up for novels and novellas as well in February. So
right.
As far as I don't know. I wanted to ask you about, have you ever, was the reason for you leaving Night Scout to concentrate more on your own work? And have you ever thought about sort of going into the publishing side of it again?
No. I learned I'm not a publisher. I am just, it is the business side of dealing with authors, dealing with the process. I mean, it is, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I got to see what it was like behind the scenes, but it is not for me. It became very, it wears you down. And you can get disillusioned very quickly when you see, when you peek behind the curtain. But Robert and his wife have really continued to do a great job, and I knew they would. This was something they were really dedicated and passionate about. It was more something I think I kind of just tagged on to them because that was something that was always their dream. And I'm glad I was able to be a part of it, and we really, really launched some awesome books and met a lot of great people. But no, the time was right for me to step away, and I did, and we did so very amicably, and we still remain good friends to this day. I just talked to Robert not that long ago, so it was a good split.
It's all good. It's good to hear. I want to talk about your collaborations, which you do a lot of collaborations with other great authors. Is there something you especially like about collaborating rather than...
You know what, man? Writing, being an author, is such a... it's a very lonely hobby. It's a very lonely hobby. You don't write around people. You know, usually for me, writing is I am in my... in an office, maybe a little music playing, but once you get in that zone, you really don't want to, you don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to be disturbed by the phone going off. You don't want to be disturbed by television, especially when you hit that moment when you're writing and like your fingers are just flying on the keyboard and you're just creating. And writing is a lonely hobby. But I was able to meet two really fantastic people in David and Dane, and two people who we both thought alike, but were all very different. And collaborating became something that was just a natural fit for all of us. And I think that's why it was so easy. It was just from day one, we were able to sit down, create ideas and stories, and then work on them together. But I do agree. Somebody did ask me, do I even write books on my own anymore? Yes. Yes, I have, and I do. It's just really fun when you have a co-author at it with you as well.
I had the conversation not so long ago with somebody about having – I mean, I'm pretty much a solitary writer, but I've never collaborated with anyone. But I suppose having someone to bounce ideas off and then get back to you and that, it's – sort of like two minds are better than one, really. I'd love to collaborate with somebody, but I don't know who. I don't know if I could do it. That's the thing. I think it takes a special kind of person to be able to work like that with the. I mean, you're giving up sort of 50% control. You work with Dane Hatchell and David Hayes. I had the privilege of speaking to David Hayes last week, and I should imagine it's quite fun to work with him on a project.
It is. David Hayes just has a mind that it's just on another level from me.
Yeah.
Like Dane Hatchell and myself were very on the same level when it comes to thinking and thought processes. David makes me blush. Like I'll write a scene and I'm like, okay, I've hit my limit of what I think is necessary for gore. And I'll send it to Hayes, and he sends it back to me, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. He just took it to a completely new level, and I've got my name on this, and people are going to think I'm a psychopath, but that's all right, because they pretty much do already. So they're both very fun, genuine, good. They're both good people, and that's the main thing, is they're people you can trust as well.
Well, that's it. And of course, you've worked with them repeatedly, so something's worth keep going back for as well. Which, like I say, it's finding that right person to work with, I suppose. And David Hayes and Dane Hatchell are obviously really cool to work with. How did your writing career start? I mean, you were pretty late getting into it, probably like myself as well. I mean, when did you first sit down and think, you know what, I'm going to write something and I'm going to take it seriously?
Well, I had always liked to write and create when I was a child. I always did really well in creative writing classes in high school. And I just never was, I guess, encouraged to pursue something like that as a career. My parents are fantastic, but my parents are very conservative. They're very kind of straight edge. Go to college, get a degree in the science or medical field, and get a good job. And I did that, and I'm happy I did that. I mean, I have a very good job and career as a result of that. But it wasn't until about 2006, I think, is when I rented this really horrible zombie movie. I bought the DVD on Blu-ray, and that was at the time, it's like $25. And I went and bought it, and I watched it, and it was so horrible that I couldn't get over how bad it was. I was so angry. And I said, I could do better than this. And the kind of person I am, I like to set challenges for myself, and then I like to go do them. So instead of saying, I can do better, and then not doing anything, I'm going to show I can do better. So I sat down, and I wrote a zombie short story. And I had my friend edit it for me. He cleaned it up real well, and then I just kind of started looking online. I started looking for places to submit zombie stories to. I knew nothing, absolutely nothing about how the whole process worked. I found a publisher, and he accepted it. It turned out not to be a very reputable publisher now, but it was all a learning experience. And as I started to write more, I started to get more and more confident. And then I guess it was a little while after that was when I started to talk to Robert Wilson, and then we started Horror for Good. And then I just started, I guess the stories just kind of started entering into my mind, and I started creating. And I think I was just something that you're naturally talented in. I think you can be naturally talented in writing, but you have to work like anything to get better. And that was one thing I did. I just worked. I wrote more, and people have really enjoyed some of the things I have written. And I don't think there's any bigger reward that one can get than for somebody to say, I spent money on your book and I enjoyed my time reading it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I think that's all. As an author, that's all you can dream for, really. I mean, I spent money on Cannibal Fat Camp and Die You Zombie Crackers, and I really enjoyed my time reading it. I love those books, which obviously 50% you and 50% David Hayes. And you have a third book coming out not too far in the future, which is America's Next Dead Model. This is the third part of the Splatire series that you work with David Hayes on. What's the gist of America's Next Dead Model?
America's Next Dead Model, it's a little more straightforward than the last two, but it's it focuses on a group of real beautiful swimsuit models that are flown to a remote island to partake in a photo shoot. And as the photo shoot goes on, they realize that they're being picked off one by one by a shadowy figure wielding a machete. It is full of gore and sex and comedy, and it's been an absolute blast to write. And yeah, I think I'm winding down on it. I just talked to David last week. I gave him an update, letting him know where I was. And It's a very fun book. It is like reading a B movie all the way. It's like any campy slasher movie that you've watched and enjoyed. You can now read it.
That's it. Fantastic. I mean, that to me, that the B movie style writing, where everything's just so campy and gory, it translates so well to book form. And and you and David actually have a real knack of sort of transferring it to the medium of the novella. Or but like you said, you work with David. Does it take, I mean, this has obviously been in the pipeline for a while. Does it take a hell of a lot longer to write something like this? Because, you're back and forth all the time.
No, actually not at all. In the case with David, it's completely different than my process with Dane. With David, David wears so many hats. And one of those hats is, he's a really talented screenplay writer. And I don't know, throughout his career, the years of him doing this, he has amassed just dozens of screenplays for these campy B-movie films that just haven't seen the light of day. And he approached me with the idea, and he said, "Mark, I have all these screenplays that would be awesome if we turn them into books." And I agreed. So he would send me screenplays and I would read them and I would say, "You know what? This one works. I think I'd like to do this one." So David basically provides me an outline with what the story is kind of going to turn into. I take the screenplay and I write it. I turn it into a book. And then I send it to David, who goes through it and he adds his own spin. He punches up some scenes that I'm just not capable of reaching the level of gore and sex that he is. And he punches it up big time. And then he sends it back to me and we read it. We make sure we're on the same page. And that is it in a nutshell for those kind of books.
That's like a really sort of tidy, nailed down process. I'd have thought it had been twice as tough, really. I mean,
no, David did all the heavy lifting originally by writing a screenplay. And you want to talk about easy as a writer? Turn a screenplay into a book. I mean, that is, you just did all the hard work. Now I just have to put that to paper. And then he gives me free rein to tweak things and change things. And I do. I do to make it. There are some things that translate to book better than translating to film. So, you know, a couple things he'll have in the film wouldn't really work. So I might change some things, and he's always okay and supportive of that.
Yeah. So transferring a screenplay, converting a screenplay into a book or a novel, is there anything that, you know, you wish that you'd get an email asking you to write in a different world, a novelization of a film, or, you know, you get a lot of tie-ins, media tie-in books. Is there anything that you'd actually fancy a crack at?
God, I wish. I'd love to write. I would, man. There's certain shows that I love. I'd love to write original Walking Dead stories. I wish. I think everybody wants to jump on that train right now. I'd love to do that. Man, I'd like to. American Horror Story is another show that I'm a big fan of. I'd love to.
The novelizations, the tie-ins for that would be spectacular.
Oh yeah, yeah. You could. There's so many side stories that you could create from the show itself, and it's got such a huge audience. I mean, I think it's just waiting for somebody to write books about it. I wish. I'd love it. I don't know. No one's approached me yet, sadly, but David and I are hard at work on trying to get books like Cannibal Fat Camp and Die You Zombie Crackers turned into movies. So that is something we're currently working on.
That would be that's something to look forward to, definitely. What's your? I saw a thing the other day. I think it was Joe Lansdale. He actually he gives a lot of really good snippets and feedback and for writers and that on his Facebook page about his writing process, where he really just does one draft and then goes through right at the end and just gives it a quick polish. What's your writing process like? Do you have a very strict, do you have to do a lot of drafts, or do you do one draft and then give it a clean at the end? Or so I know every author works differently.
Right. My problem is I think I'm better than I probably am. So when I write, I think it's already gold. It doesn't need to be touched. I put my nose down and I write, and then yeah. I ship it off to the editor for them to rip to pieces and then send back to me. Because I like to jump to the next project. I don't like to go back and reread my own stuff. Because as weird as that is, there's nothing more boring sometimes than rereading something you've written, because you already know what's going to happen. It takes the joy out of it. That is the writing process that many people who are not authors, they don't understand. The fun part is writing. After that, the publishing, the editing, the cover art, oh my goodness. That is the
it's fucking tedious.
Yes. It fucking sucks.
It is,
I mean it is. You know, when Dane and I signed the contract for Insurgency, and we had a great time writing that book. And that book is not campy or B-movie. It's a very, very straight-line zombie military thriller. That's how Dane and I work, with the exception of Slip Play Gray. Dane and I, our writing projects are more, they're not campy or B-movie-esque, like what I do with David Hayes. But, you know, Dane and I just haven't create the synopsis for the back of the book, having to pick out the cover art, dealing with the publisher while he gives us multiple options. I mean, that is the part that's not that fun.
It's like you said, the synopsis is an author's worst nightmare.
I can't do it. I cannot do it. They're like, here you go, Mark. Go ahead and describe your 300-page book in 4 sentences. And it's like, but there's more. There's so much more. I hate it. I want the synopsis to say, read the book.
Yeah, that'll
out.
Do.
You'll
find
out.
Yeah, that should be all that the back says is, you'll
exactly.
find it. You'll see.
You like zombies? You like military stuff? Perfect. Read the book.
Yeah, read the book. Read the fucking
book. You don't move on.
So, yeah, you were right. Seven Press have recently released Insurgency, which, like you said, is another Dan Hatchell collaboration. What's the main plot of Insurgency? Is it...
Here's now where I got to sum up the 300. I got to sum up the 300-page book now in 3 sentences.
You've got 140 characters.
I'll tweet you what the book's about. No, it is a It's a zombie thriller. It focuses on a former Army Ranger who comes back from the war in Afghanistan with a lot of psychological, emotional problems that he suffered due to the war and due to betrayal during the war. He becomes the sheriff of a small town in Louisiana, and there is a very large prison in that town that has just given the okay for the military to experiment with a drug that'll help combat biological weapons. And they find out that something horrible goes wrong with the as something always horrible goes wrong with this. You would think they would stop experimenting with biological. They always end in zombie apocalypses. But anyway, that something goes wrong. The town is now being overrun with zombies, and our main character has to save his friends and kind of figure out what happens. It's a very fast-paced, thrilling kind of zombie novel. It's got Romero-style zombies. I'm a big fan of the classic Romero style. They're the ones that they plod along and they're always kind of coming for you. They don't have any intelligence other than they just want to kill you. That's my favorite. I don't like all the zombies that can run or the zombies that can sing or talk.
Well, this is it. I mean, you've got to figure out where the cutoff point is. I mean, zombies are dead. They should walk. They shouldn't have the capacity to trot or do anything, you know, intelligent. So, yeah, the Romero zombie for me is, you know, the ultimate zombie. And this isn't your first foray into zombies. I mean, you had Hollow Shell and then the novel Hollow Point. And I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on the current state of zombies. I mean, there's an awful lot of it out there at the moment. And some of it is just fucking dire.
Well, I'd say most of it's beyond dire. And it's almost like zombie books are the training wheels of the horror writer. It is like, for some reason, that is the first book everybody wants to write. They want to write a zombie book. And there's sometimes they suck. You know, I mean, I'm never one that's ever going to discourage anyone from wanting to create, wanting to write. But fuck, man, sometimes some people don't need to write. Some people don't need to create. And it just puts more trash out into the ocean of books. And, you know, one thing that I will say I was very touched on was Joe McKinney. He wrote the introduction for Insurgency, and he blurbed the book. And when he brought up that point, that there is just so much bad zombie literature out there, but Insurgency is not one of those. And for him, an accomplished author like him to say that, that was awesome. And Jonathan Mayberry, who's a New York Times best-selling author and one of my personal idols, for a big reason why I started writing was because of him. For him to actually take the time to read and blurb my book, and I met him in New Orleans, and he told me how much he enjoyed the book. For him to say how much he enjoyed a book I wrote, it blew my mind to hear something like that.
Yeah. I mean, those two are the, you know, they're great at zombies and the undead, and, you know, and for you to manage to get a blurb from Joe McKinney and you know, that speaks volumes, really. And there are, again, two very nice people who will go in above and beyond to help emerging authors if they see potential.
Well, that's the thing is they you have to earn their blurbs. So many people ask them for blurbs. I mean, Joe McKinney, you know, he's such a nice guy, and he had even told me he wants to give everyone a blurb, but he's getting to a point now, so many people ask him, he can't. He can't give a blurb to everyone, especially if it's an undeserving blurb.
Yeah.
Also, another person who gave us a blurb for that book was Dana Fredsby, and she's a very accomplished zombie author as well.
Yeah.
She has her own series of books. I think the Ashley Parker series that's extremely popular, and I got to meet her and spend time with her as well, and she really enjoyed it, which it means the world when you've got these authors that are published by the big houses, and
yeah.
they say you're doing a good job. It makes you just want to keep writing.
Yeah, that's sometimes I think, you know, you sort of need that. I mean, do you have any advice for emerging authors or things that they should stop fucking doing just to give themselves a bit?
We've all
seen them. I don't want to, you know, name names. I'm not going to. But, you know, we've all seen them.
Let's name names.
I'm beyond naming names. I think it's more a case to me of just distancing myself. But yeah, there are people out there who, like you said yourself, shouldn't even be writing, and certainly shouldn't be going to established authors and asking for blurbs because it's unfair. So is there anything that you'd say to someone setting out to write maybe a zombie series or a bizarro book? Or
I would say the first thing I would say is, I want to say bad things about the Kindle, the direct publishing world that we now live in, where every single person who ever wanted to be an author can now call themselves an author.
Yeah.
Because they can publish their book. I would say if you're going to write, you're going to want to be taken seriously. And just because you put a book on Amazon doesn't mean people are going to take you seriously. And, you know, our problem is we just have this, very entitled sense of self-worth now, where everybody wants it and they want it now. No one wants to work for anything. They want instant gratification.
Is it the way it is at the moment? Somebody could decide last week that they wanted to be an author or they wanted to write something, and they could whack a 10-page short story up on Amazon and then call themselves an author. And I think that's an issue.
My biggest regret is not writing the 20-page fiction of I Had Sex with a Dinosaur or I Had Sex with a Bigfoot. I regret that now because, yeah, you can make that person the butt of jokes, but they've got like 20,000 sales on their horrible books. Now I'm just joking.
I Lay with a Velociraptor was actually above one of my own books, and it was keeping me off the top spot. And I was fuming because I was like, and I think it was in the comedy section, but yeah, I think it was called I Lay with a Velociraptor, and the cover for this book had been knocked together in paint or something, and it was just awful. And like you said, this person has made thousands and thousands from it and got a lot of free press.
So we really
missed out there.
Yeah, horrible. It's so horrible. People want to read it.
There are enough dinosaurs to go around.
No, somebody posted a link to the new one. It's like the Tyrannosaurus Rex made me gay. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. And, of course, I go and I fucking start reading it. And it's like, you know, the book is 15 pages, so the sample's 3 pages. And it reads like a nightmare. And it has like 300 reviews. And I'm just like, why? Why do I even do this? And
yeah, it's a bit disheartening, isn't it?
I need to start doing that. If you see me come out with a line of homoerotic dinosaur and Bigfoot stories, just leave me be. Just leave me be and encourage me, please.
I saw a lot of a lot of Bigfoot porn. A lot of I think the new one is like kaiju kaiju porn and shit. How would that even work?
Who knew?
Kaiju porn?
Who knew an 80-foot tall creature?
Yeah.
Could have sex with a human.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Apparently, it's possible. So
it violates the laws of anatomy.
If you're thinking about becoming an author and you want a shortcut, just pick the craziest monster you can think of and a couple of naked chicks, and, you know, instant bestseller.
My honest advice for writers is to find an animal or mythological creature we have not had sex with and write a series about it. And then keep it as poorly edited as possible and as short as possible, and maybe hand-draw the cover yourself. And you're bound to be a success. Just have your 5-year-old draw you a cover, and you will be successful. And then I'll be on the show being jealous of you. And
every week I'll still be bringing it up on this show, crying into my
laptop. Your show will turn into your show will turn into us doing reviews. We'll be doing reviews for the book. That's what we need to do. You need to, like, get these books, and we can, like, you need to read them to start the show, and then you can have authors sit there and just, like, talk about them.
That'd be awesome. Oh. That'd be awesome.
I might tune in for that.
Sodomized by a unicorn. Yeah.
Yes. It's too close to home, though. I don't know if I want to talk about that one. Just to go back to the original question, my honest advice for writers is just enjoy it. Enjoy doing it. And do not for one second do it as a get-rich scheme. You will not get rich. You will become disillusioned and broken. And if you're doing it to get rich, well, then you're not doing it for the right reasons. Just come up with original ideas. Even if they're not original ideas, you can, you know, Insurgency, that's not an original idea, the zombies and military and all that stuff. But Dane and I put a lot of care into our characters. We created them. We developed them. We wanted people to connect to them and care about them. And I'm not gonna lie. When I wrote the last part of that book, I mean, I started getting emotional because you take these characters on such a ride and then you have to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And that's what Dane and I did. And that's my only thing. That's my only advice, really, in this world of self-gratification and get-rich-quick schemes is just enjoy it and become good at it. And I don't have anything bad to say about people who self-publish and they do it right. There's so many people who do it right. I can't fault that. And I mean, really, that's all these small presses are really just people self-publishing but doing it right.
So
that's what I would say.
Shortcuts, I think, is the key. Is just don't think that, you know, you can just get away with putting something up and, you know, get an editor, get a cover artist, do it properly, get several editors, get beta readers, get, you know, do the whole thing. It will cost you a lot more in the long run, but your name's on that. Your name will be on that until, you know.
It's something you created and something you should be proud of and something you put out. So have pride in it. Don't just push it out. And also don't be annoying on social media. I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, social media really doesn't mean shit anyway. People like to pretend like, oh, you could ruin your reputation on Facebook. No one gives a fuck about Facebook. It's so small in the big pool of readers. You know, readers aren't on Facebook, really. It's all just authors talking about one another half the time.
Authors are on Facebook, trying to sell each other their books. We've been there. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, shit about it because – you know, my Facebook is full of great authors and people who I bounce ideas and that off. But there are no readers there. There are a few, but you're wasting your time a lot of the time. I mean, what I find annoying is people who post the same book link in 25 groups within the space of 3 minutes. and that's not going to get you anywhere. That's going to piss a lot of people off.
It just becomes annoying. And you know what? It's a shame because like a couple, maybe 2 years ago, I had so many groups that I joined in Facebook, and I met so many people I talk to today and so many people I consider friends, real friends. I've talked to them on the phone. I've met them all because of this Facebook group. And now it's not even usable anymore. It is just nothing but spam. People spamming their book titles and then one person spams another, and then it's just before you know it, it's all just one big wall of Amazon links. You know, read my book. It's so good. It's got 65 five-star reviews, but not one of them is a verified Kindle purchase. So ridiculous.
Yeah, it's always nice in those groups when it gets broken up by somebody trying to sell you sunglasses. I think that's what keeps it real. It's nice to know that Ray-Ban are still going anyway. That's amazing.
Right. I've got a pair.
I used to have a pair. I have no idea what happened to them. Sunglasses in our house, they get snapped and shit. Three-year-old. Blame the three-year-old.
Blame for everything.
Yeah. we're into a new year. We're into 2015, my sources tell me. What were your favourite books from last year? And who would you recommend that people should be reading right now?
You know, last year for me was a tough year personally. I went through a lot of things in my personal life. I didn't read many books last year. One media that I did follow big time was I got into graphic novels, big time, and I read a lot of graphic novels. Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, Neil Gaiman's Sandman. Those were all great. I actually just picked up a book that I'm reading right now. It's called The Troop by Nick Cutter. And
that's the one that Stephen King endorsed, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah. Stephen King blurbed it. And then Nick Cutter, turns out, it's not his real name. He's some famous Canadian writer who was using a pen name. But it's a very good book. It's a very, very straightforward novel. It's very solid. I hate to be honest, but it's true. I did not read many books last year. I didn't do much writing at all last year. I kind of been tapped out with a lot of things I had going on in my personal life.
Real life took over for a while.
Real life will destroy you if you let it. But it'll really destroy your creativity. It'll really destroy that. I do know that my two co-authors, Dane Hatchell and David Hayes, they stayed extremely busy. I know David had a series of releases with Bizarro Pulp Press, and Dane Hatchell also had a book that he wrote with another person that was released by Severed Press. And those are two guys that are extremely good. You know, Vincenzo Beloff, he's doing a lot of, he did the takeover for Bizarro Pulp Press, which Cannibal Fat Camp and Die You Zombie Crackers is published under. And I don't think you can go wrong with any of those books that company puts out. If you're a fan of that genre, you know, and this Adam Millard guy, he's pretty okay too, I guess.
So. Cheers. Yeah, no. He's all right. He's not up to, you know, scratch.
I've heard of him.
He's Pulp Press. Yeah, he's all right. He's sort of, I think it's because he's British. Not many people have heard. Have you heard that the bird is the word?
I like to read his books in his accent. That's what completes it for me.
I've been likened to a pirate, and then somebody else likened me to... What was it? I can't remember. I don't know. It's a horrible accent anyway. It's a stupid country.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think you say that, man. But if you want, you know what? If you had any American girl on the phone right now, she'd be swooning all over the place. I wish I had your accent. I mean, I could get away saying things like, you know, stupid. You know, we say stupid. I'll say stupid. I mean, just I don't know. There's a CH in there somewhere. I had no idea.
Stupid accent.
Right. You know, little charming things like that. I wish I could say it and get away with it, but I can. And when I try to do a fake accent, it's like I don't know, like Nepalese or something. It's just horrible. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrible at accents. My wife's father is Irish, and every time I sort of slip into a pretend Irish accent, she just kicks off. It's like it does sound Jamaican or something, but
that's about me.
It sounds Jamaican, yeah.
like, what is that, Rastafarian?
Yeah. It's like that was my best leprechaun impression right there, and you fucking apparently it sounded like Nelson Mandela or something, but
hater.
Yeah. But I've tried an American accent and it doesn't work either. It's terrible. So I'm going to keep my British accent, come to America and see what the women are like. Just don't mention it to my wife.
Well, yeah, hopefully she doesn't listen to this.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't even know I'm doing it. She thinks I'm polishing the desk.
I'm putting the kid down for a nap.
Yeah. We've got a few minutes left. Which authors would you say have been inspiring to you over the years? Not last year, but just in general, since you sort of got into it.
You know, the ones that have inspired me, the ones that are very approachable, ones I've spoken to, Jonathan Mayberry, Joe McKinney, obviously Stephen King is one. There are three authors that I read who they make me want to not write anymore. Do you ever have that? Do you ever read other authors and you're like, I'm never going to be as good as this person. Why do I even try to write
every single
like this?
Thing, every single thing that I write that isn't dinosaur porn, I have that feeling.
Every
single thing I read, it's like, how did they write this? Why can I not write like this? But then other people tell you that you're actually okay as well. So it's like, yeah, I just don't see it.
my three people are Clive Barker, Neil Gaiman, and Alan Moore. And when I read how they write, I wonder, why do I even do this? Why do I even try writing? Because they just, man, the way they write, they paint. They
it's like
paint
poetry,
words.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Well, it's
think,
like art.
I think the fact that they're all kind of arty as well, aren't they? I mean, you know, that's got something to do with it. Yeah. But yeah, whenever I read something by Clive Barker,
I got to be more arty. I got to be more artsy with my approach.
I got to let you draw something other than dicks. That'll be a start.
If I could just get off dinosaur porn, if I can somehow combine the art with Clive Barker with dinosaur pornography. And I was going to say Stephanie Myers just to try to piss off the people who listen to the show. But
fine. Go ahead.
Yeah.
The best
series of horror I ever wrote was Twilight. And, you know, it just doesn't get better than that. I don't think anyone could argue
No.
It's just vampires done right.
If you've written Twilight, you may as well just put your pen down, throw your keyboard out the window.
Read the Twilight series if you want horror done right. I hope to God I've caused several people to freak out right now. That's my goal.
Or there are hundreds of people literally running to get a copy of Twilight, and Stephanie Meyer's sales are just going to go through the roof.
Probably. She can thank me for that. She can.
We'll have her on the show. She's an ungrateful fucker.
Man, she just is what it is. You know, that's the whole territory with writing is you can't begrudge. Too many people waste time begrudging other authors who just had a combination of luck combined with the right story at the right time. You have somebody like Stephanie Myers with Twilight. You have somebody, I forgot that lady's name, whatever her name is with 50 Shades of Grey. And so many people waste so much time hating on these people when it really, one, they don't give a shit. And two, you're not going to, nothing's going to change. I mean, just, you know, just write your own book, you know, go after it. Just because this person wrote a book, it doesn't mean you can't be a success as well.
If you were in Stephanie Meyer's shoes, they'd be a bit tight, but if you were in Stephanie Meyer's shoes, you wouldn't give a shit. You'd be like, hey, it's going to hate. Go fuck yourselves.
There's a reason people, there's a reason why people like me don't have the success that she has, and that's because I would be online trolling people 24/7. That's all I would do.
Just
I would be pissing people off.
Taking photos
off
of all your money.
Oh, for real. I would be Scrooge McDuckin in a big pile of cash and tweeting that picture out to, actually I want to do that now. But like, I just, that's why I don't have the success they have. God will not allow that to happen because he knew it would bring about like my own ruin. Because I would troll. I would troll the shit out of people professionally. It's all I would do. And I'd laugh. Nothing makes me laugh harder than people that get so bent out of shape about people that have no impact on their life at all.
Yeah, I agree.
But that all said, I'm not a fan. I didn't read any of the Twilight books, so I don't want to get that rumor started.
I've had the pleasure of seeing the film.
I am sleeping with Stephanie Meyer. No.
Well, that's awesome. I've heard she's quite good.
I wanted to break that news on your show. So if we can get that trending, that'd be great.
Hashtag sign now, Meyer. Yeah. I'm
yes.
On it.
Hashtag boning Meyer. Please.
Boning Meyer. All right, we're going to have to wrap this up. What's next in the pipeline, then, for Mark Steiner?
Oh, next in the pipeline, finishing America's Next Dead Model with David Hayes. He and I have a couple projects we're working on. One of them is a comic book series from one title that he and I have played around with. He's had a couple comic books put out. The man has his hands in all kinds of different
everything.
He really does.
Yeah.
I mean, he has his fingers in everything, and one of them is comic books. I think as much as I love comics, I would love for my book to one day be in that kind of format. So we're working on a couple things. Once I finish Next Dead Model, he's going to have another book for me for the Splattire series. I just haven't decided which one it's going to be yet. Dane Patchell and myself, we're actually getting, we're working on getting Slipway Gray put out by another publisher. And we are discussing the possibilities of having a multiple novella deal with this publisher. Dane and I are talking about it. It's very much in its infancy, and there's a lot of things he and I have to discuss because we're both very busy people with our our careers as well. So we're working on that, and we also have another book that's out right now for consideration, which is it's a paranormal serial killer book that he and I wrote about a year or two ago. That's really, really fucked up. The book is beyond fucked up. So I'm hoping that one gets to see the light of day pretty soon.
So there's plenty to look forward to then. I'm going to have to let you go. We're down to 30 seconds, and it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. And thank you very much for joining me.
Adam, I had a great time. Thank you so much for having me, and I definitely love to do it again anytime.
You're welcome anytime, mate.
I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit.